as I see it, the planes slammed into the towers, and the jet fuel, you know, didn't have to burn too long. It started some immense fires that were across an entire floor the size of an acre. Basically, that made some of the floor trusses sag, and already some critical beams had been cut by the airplane explosion. So this pulled in on the perimeter walls, the outer walls, and you can see this quite plainly in photographs. And I've got some articles on our website, nmsr.org. I just posted some new things. But basically, as those perimeter walls were pulled in, they got pulled in too much, and they snapped, and that took off. It did not support enough load with the columns that were cut. And now the perimeter walls, so the upper sections of both towers started to fall. And for Tower 1, which was higher up, the top 14 or so stories, they fell about 12 feet, about 4 meters. And in that fall, they got up to about 19 miles an hour. And when they slammed into that next 95th floor, actually, you know, since October, since we Richard and I debated, I've sort of gone on a little journey of physics and theory and experiment, and have developed basically an explanation that accounts for things like time and impact, strength, and velocities and momentum and kinetic energy. And it's really come together. It's been a really interesting journey of experiment and theory, and everything's coming together to really, you know, produce a nice result that matches reality. But basically what happened was, as that first section slammed into the lower floors, it got up to about 19 miles an hour, and it hit that floor with an impact of 30 times the static weight. And they build buildings to withstand 3 or 4 or 5 times, but not 30 times. And it just overwhelmed the floor joists and snapped them, and it slowed it down. There was resistance. It slowed down from 19 miles an hour down to 18 miles an hour. But then that next floor, it crossed it in half the time, because it already was going not 0 miles an hour, but 18, got up to 26 miles an hour, slammed with a weight of 40 times the static weight instead of just 30, snapped that floor, got slowed down from 26 miles down to 25 miles an hour, speeded up to 31 miles an hour, slammed the next floor with even greater force. Basically, these accelerations were very brief, only a couple milliseconds each, but they were, you know, like 20 or 30 or 40 G's, at least 30 G's, actually. So very brief accelerations. So one of the things I've discovered is there's one of the 9/11 truth physicists, David Chandler, took a movie of the tower collapse and measured it very carefully, and found that the average acceleration was about two-thirds of the acceleration of gravity. And he contended, because it's accelerating at all, that means there's, you know, not much of a dynamic force. And he estimates this force, which I calculate with my physics model, as at least 30 times the weight. He only gets a third of the weight.
Okay.
And I think that's really the fundamental flaw of 9/11 truth physics. They woefully underestimate the huge impact of that. It's like a ton of bricks hitting it. If you take a bowling ball and put it on your toe, that's okay. If you drop it from 12 feet, you're going to break your toe.
Right.
And that's just what happens to those buildings. That's why the collapse was considered inevitable, because every floor had even more dynamic force going at it.
Well, you say inevitable, meaning that the second the plane, say Tower 1, went in to that floor, that
if
it was inevitable.
If they could have knocked the fires down, they might have prevented it. But
if they had gotten the fire out right away, if they had gotten the fire out right away, you're saying it might not have come down.
That's correct. The building was actually designed to stand up to a 707. But they didn't expect the planes to blow away the insulation for the heavy steel trusses. That's what really did them in.
Okay.
But the amazing thing I was just about to get to was when I look at my new physics model and basically look at the fall of the towers as not some average two-thirds sort of average smoothed out acceleration, but what really happened, a free fall and then a violent impact, a collision, a deceleration of 30 G's for only a couple milliseconds. And when you average that process out for the first 4 seconds and compare it to David Chandler's measurements, it comes up to two-thirds of the acceleration of gravity. His measurements are basically validating my gravitational collapse model results that I've just come up with.